but one can't go without his sleep forever. The immortals give each thing its proper place in our mortal lives throughout the good green earth. So now I'm going back to my room upstairs and lie down on my bed. That bed of pain my tears have streaked year in, year out from the day Odysseus sailed away to sea. Destroy, I call it. I hate to say its name. There I'll rest, while you lie here in the hall spreading your blankets, summer on the floor, or the women will prepare a decent bed. With that, the queen went up to her lofty, well-lit room, and not alone, her women followed close behind. Penelope, once they reached the upper story, fell to weeping for Odysseus, her beloved husband, till watchful Athena sealed her eyes with welcome sleep. Book 20. Portents Gather. Off in the entrance hall the great king made his bed, spreading out on the ground the raw hide of an ox, heaping over it fleece from sheep the suitors butchered day and night. Then Eurynome threw a blanket over him once he'd nestled down, and there Odysseus lay, plotting within himself the suitor's death, awake, alert, as the women slipped from the house, the maids who whored in the suitors' beds each night, tittering, linking arms, and frisking as before. Master's anger rose inside his chest, torn in thought, debating, head and heart. Should he up and rush them, kill them one and all, or let them rut with their lovers one last time? The heart inside him growled low with rage, as a bitch mounting over her weak defenseless puppies growls, facing a stranger, bristling for a showdown. So he growled from his depths, hackles rising at their outrage. But he struck his chest and curbed his fighting heart. Bear up, old heart. You've borne worse, far worse. That day when the Cyclops, man-mountain, bolted your hardy comrades down, but you held fast. Nobody but your cunning pulled you through the monster's cave you thought would be your death. So he forced his spirit into submission. The rage in his breast reined back, unswerving, all endurance. But he himself kept tossing, turning, intent as a cook before some white-hot blazing fire, who rolls his sizzling sausage back and forth, packed with fat and blood, keen to broil it quickly, tossing, turning it this way, that way. So he cast about. How could he get these shameless suitors in his clutches, one man facing a mob? When close to his side she came. Athena, sweeping down from the sky in a woman's build, and hovering at his head, the goddess spoke. Why still awake? The unluckiest man alive, here is your house, your wife at home, your son, as fine a boy as one could hope to have. True, the wily fighter replied, how right you are, goddess, but still this worry haunts me, heart and soul. How can I get these shameless suitors in my clutches? Single-handed, braving an army, always camped inside. There's another worry that haunts me even more. What if I kill them, thanks to you and Zeus? How do I run from under their avengers? Show me the way. I ask you. Impossible man, Athena bantered, the goddess's eyes ablaze. Others are quick to trust a weaker comrade, some poor mortal far less cunning than I. But I am a goddess. The very one who guards you in all your trials to the last. I tell you this straight out. Even if 50 bands of mortal fighters closed around us, hot to kill us off in battle, still you could drive away their herds and sleek flocks. So surrender to sleep at last. What a misery keeping watch through the night, wide awake. You'll soon come up from under all your troubles. With that she showered sleep across his eyes, and back to Olympus went the lustrous goddess. As soon as sleep came on him, loosing his limbs, slipping the toils of anguish from his mind, his devoted wife awoke, and sitting up in her